for me to introduce our speaker, the Reverend Godfrey Tate. I first ran into Godfrey about 15 years ago when he was district superintendent of the Ashland District. I was at a seminar and he was one of our instructors, and I got to know him real well. Now he's moved up, given up his job as district superintendent, given up preaching at the many churches he's been preaching at since 1955, and is now the associate director of the Conference Council of Ministry for the Virginia United Methodist Church. Godfrey is a friend of all that come in contact with him. He never hesitates a moment to show his love for his fellow man. When we were together in Fayetteville at the Native American consultation, Godfrey was really surprised because he had never been associated with so many Indians. But he found, much to his dismay, that there are Indians in Virginia and that there are Indians in the United Methodist Conference. So it's a privilege and a pleasure for me to introduce Reverend Godfrey Tate. Thank you, Brother Kuby, Assistant Chief Perry, and my brothers and sisters. It is a pleasure for me to be here. I wish to express the regrets of Bishop Robert M. Blackburn, who was to be here with his wife, but due to previous commitments, he could not be here. In order that I won't take more than the 5 minutes, I'm going to stick to the script. As the United Methodist Church enters its third century, it looks at its past as well as its future. While we saw ourselves continuing the Christian tradition of our forebears, we were conscious of the need for new practices which compelled them to pursue. They contributed a distinct witness to God and a needed service to their neighbors. We have seen the Holy Spirit working in a similar way throughout the church's history. The history of the early church reminds us of the conflicts encountered, the courage involved in the mission, and the mission fulfilled. In succeeding centuries, other caring and bold apostles carried the faith to people within their cultural settings, while at the same time addressing the challenges of interpreting the faith in Europe. Thus, the succession of apostolic life reached our founders. The body of Christ, which is apostolic, sent into the world, thus became Catholic, inclusive, and universal. Our bicentennial celebration leads us to question, as we view the future of the United Methodist Church, will we simply reproduce the successful techniques of the past, or will we allow the surge of the Holy Spirit to take shape in our ministry today? The importance of recovering that certainty is vital as we consider the vastly different world in which we find emerging issues today. The most notable change in missionary and Native American relations as the 20th century moves through its final quarter is that now it features a dialogue rather than the 19th century monologue. In the old monologue system in which the Native American people were evangelized and missionized, they were told flatly that salvation for the Indian meant relinquishing one tribal and cultural identity. That system no longer exists. In 1984, the General Conference set forth the following goals, objectives, and strategies designed to address those needs, issues, and concerns of our Native American United Methodists. A feature of the following recommendations is the collaborative style being initiated. Native American leadership is to be prepared to be accountable in effecting this ministry. The five Native American regions mentioned represent the actual national alignment of Native American churches working in geographical areas. In certain instances, they follow jurisdictional boundaries. In many, they do not. These regions organized with elected leadership. Access to the local churches is available through regular conference procedure. Ethnic minority local churches represent our closest, most direct ties to spiritual justice and peace issues in the United States and in other countries. That they have needs, dreams, and aspirations is well established. What often is not recognized is that ethnic minority local churches offer the United Methodist Church a priority for outreach ministry. Even more important, as we look from theological and biblical perspectives, we agree with the words of Bishop Roy Sano, who wrote in the proposal to the 1984 General Conference, and I quote him, "The ethnic minority local churches provide the United Methodist Church a priority in mission. Our action and concern is now to carry out the mandate of the General Conference in developing and strengthening the ethnic minority local church for witness and for mission." End of quotation. There are seven goals in which together we approach this text. First, witness, to evangelize, to develop new congregations while needed and revitalize existing churches. Two, discipleship, to provide mission training and mission resources. Three, liturgy, to develop ethnic minority liturgical resources. Four, outreach, to empower ethnic minority local churches for domestic and global mission interaction and to foster ecumenical concern. Five, leadership, to enlist and deploy laypersons as leaders. Six, structure, to promote adaptations of the United Methodist Church which facilitate mission and ministry to ensure adequate ethnic minority representation and to provide equitable access to the process and benefits of the United Methodist Church. Seven, to implore existing facilities to utilize new facilities comprehensive and to plan for future acquisition and use of these facilities. I close with the words of an Indian prayer that I share with you at this time, for it means much to me. Grant, Great Spirit, that we may not criticize our neighbors until we have walked a mile in their moccasins. Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you, Judge. I have to explain that remark. He was our group leader when we were attended a session at Fayetteville, North Carolina, a few months ago. We had to put on a five-part skit on the spur of the moment. We kind of got short of people. I made him a judge, so that's where he inherited the title. And he has our pipeline to the bishop in Richmond. Our next guest, I have the privilege to introduce myself. He is a man that needs no introduction within the Indian community in Virginia, and for that part, in North Carolina either. He is a retired executive of Norfolk Shipbuilding and Dry Dock Company. He is a well-known amateur, I'm going to use both now, anthropologist and archaeologist, because he studies and digs. And he has been a friend of and to all Virginia Indians for over 60 years. Jim is an honorary member of both the Upper Mattapony and the Nansman tribe, and it's with a great deal of personal pleasure that I introduce to you Mr. Jim Coates. Jim?
To say that I'm happy to be here would be a rather trite statement. I hope that all of you will remember this day as a monumental occasion. Really, when you look back on the history of the Virginia Indians and you remember what your forefathers went through, this, I think, is the first time, certainly in my lifetime, that I've seen the various leaders of the tribes, not only of Virginia and many of the North Carolina people, come together in unison. And I trust that this is the first and will of many, many occasions that will occur in the future. Come together in Christian unity. Regain and cultivate your heritage and do everything you can to be the best you can in both societies. The heritage of the American Native Indian and the best that the world has to offer for you today. I'm delighted to have a small part in this, and I want to call to your attention that Oliver Perry is a man that God has raised up for this particular occasion. In my opinion, you have a set of circumstances that have occurred recently in the last 2 or 3 years where you have no opposition either in the county sense of government for cities or in a state legislature. Even the governor of Virginia has been very sympathetic to the problems of the Native Americans. And I'm delighted that we can reflect back and that the Lord has let me live long enough to see this happy day. Praise the Lord. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. At this time, I'll ask Preston Atkins if he and his dancers will assemble and go along with their dancers. Preston? You all may want to get up and gather around Preston and his dance team.
Minutes of the program before which time we will go inside and start eating. So if you'll kind of gather in front of you, let me go through this. I'll put it as briefly as possible.
Okay,
give me your attention for a few minutes now. We're going to go ahead and see this program. I have a few people that I'd like to express some appreciation to for what they have done to help to make this possible. Several people donated the drink that we've been consuming today. The Allegheny Pepsi-Cola Company, the Mid-Atlantic Coca-Cola Company, the Suffolk Office, the Moonlight Room here where we will be enjoying our barbecue and chicken very shortly. The Stranas loaned us the use of the outdoor public address system. I've already thanked Dr. Helen Roundtree for the insert for the printed history of the Nansemonds. But I would especially like to thank all the individual members, committees, groups within the Nansemond tribe itself. Everyone played a part in pulling this thing together and making it the success that I think it is. And so, once again, I'd like to thank each and every one of them. I have one other announcement. This is for the benefit of the members of the Nansemond tribe. It was omitted from the minutes of our last 2 meetings. Our scheduled tribal meeting for the 25th this month, which is tomorrow, is canceled. Our next regular meeting will be the fourth Sunday in the month of June.
I had a response, a very brief response, response prepared to follow our main speaker, but since he isn't here, I'll make it anyway. It's only two short statements and then a question. Basically, it was addressed to the members of all the Indian tribes that are present today, and it was indicating the fact that we have been doing a great deal of study and research into our past history as to where we were and how we got to where we are today. But the important question is, it's not either one of those. It's where are we going to go from this point on? What are we going to do? I have recommended for the consideration of all the chiefs that they think in terms of all the seven tribes remaining the Powhatan Confederacy, that they pull together in one united effort with the thoughts in mind of having a Powhatan powwow located in the vicinity of Jamestown, Williamsburg, Yorktown, wherever the seven chiefs decide it should be held in the manner in which they think it should be held. So my question to leave with all of you is, where do we go from this day forward? The next thing on our program, I think it's one of the highlights, is we're going to have the Lord's Prayer in Indian Sign Language as performed by Chief Oliver Adkins, who has just told me that this is the best, the greatest birthday party that he has ever had. So he will perform the Lord's Prayer in Indian Sign Language, and it will be sung by Kenneth Paul Bass, a councilman of the Nansman Tribe. Chief Adkins.
First, I'd like to say to you that what you'll be seeing now is the Lord's Prayer in the Indian Sign Language. I've done this in London, England, St. George's Church, they raised in London, England, where Pocahontas is buried. I've done it for Maximum and the Pier. I've done it for the Passamaquoddy and Micmacs of Maine, the Chippewas and Jiggawas of Michigan, the Menominee in New Jersey, the Mashpee Wampanoag in Massachusetts, the Natticokes in Delaware, and many of those places I've had the opportunity to do that. Thank you. Thank you.
Don't go in yet. I think you need to hear what I'm going to say next. We're shortly going to have the blessing granted by the Reverend William B. Coop and the Indiana United Methodist Church, following which we will go inside to eat. But I would ask that you let our visiting tribal members and out-of-town guests go first. Some of them have a long distance to travel, North Carolina, western part of the state, northern part of Virginia. So let them go in first, and then just fall right in line. So we'll have the blessing now by Reverend Coop.
Found prayer. Most gracious Lord God, again we come before Thee, thanking Thee for this day and for this opportunity. Now, dear our God, we ask that Thou will be with us as we partake of the meal. Bless those who have prepared it, and bless it to the nourishment of our bodies, so we might better serve Thee. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Now you can get your utensils and attack the barbecue chicken.
Thank you.